Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Shriram Transport Finance Q2 FY21 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Umesh Revankar, Managing Director and CEO, Shriram Transport Finance. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, friends, and good evening to those who joined from the western part of the world. A warm welcome to all of you who joined this call. I hope all of you are healthy and safe. Joining with me today are Mr. Parag Sharma, CFO, Sundar, Executive Director, Sanjay, who is our IR head. The government has. I'll start with the economic update and environmental update, then we'll go into results. The government started unlock from July 2020 with the successive unlocks each month. Under the Ministry of Home Affairs and National Disaster Management Authority guidelines, lockdown measures were continued only in containment zone. Curfew was imposed only at night from 10:00 P.M. to 5:00 A.M. in all areas. State borders were reopened. Interstate and intrastate travel were permitted. Shops were permitted to allow more than five persons at a time. Most of the activities were allowed in non-containment zones, except entertainment, recreation, gathering, and education institutions. In August, the night curfew was removed, and in September, metro rail services were allowed, and social gathering with some limitation was allowed. The government continued its reform measures to ensure the Indian economy picks up pre-lockdown pace. The government helped the rural economy through various packages. In August, 8.5 crore farmers were paid around 17,000 crore under PM Kisan Yojana. The Parliament passed three agriculture-related bills, which included several reforms, including unrestricted sale of farm produce, enabling contract farming, and removal of stocking limits on traders for a large number of commodities. These bills are expected to boost agricultural productivity and increase transport of farm produce both at the interstate and intrastate level. The private corporate sector participation would bring in fresh capital for cold storage and the entire supply chain part of it, which shall give boost to rural infrastructure and income ultimately. The agriculture sector posted a growth of 4.3% in Q1 FY21, despite overall negative GDP growth in the third quarter. In manufacturing, the pace of contraction in Index of Industrial Production, IIP, moderated compared to previous months, being -10.4% and -8% in July and August, respectively. However, optimism was witnessed, reflecting this restart, on account of which several numbers turned positive. The Manufacturing Purchasing Manager Index, PMI, reading in August and September rose above the expansion mark of 50, being 52 in August, 56.8 in September, which was highest since January 2012. The GST collection for the month of September 2020 saw positive YoY growth of 4% to 95,480 crore. The recent amendment in labor laws is expected to help manufacturing enterprises to scale up their productivity. The government also announced a tax incentive scheme amounting to 5,600 crore to central government employees to buy specified goods in lieu of LTC till March 21. It also provided state government an interest-free 50-year capital expenditure worth 2,500 12,000 crores. Further, it increased its own FY21 capex target by 25,000 crores on road, defense, and urban infrastructure. The RBI took forward-looking approach in its amendments, announcements, and policies under revised priority sector lending guidelines. It announced higher PSL weightage to incremental loans disbursed in low credit flow districts. The targets for lending to small farmers were increased, and new categories of renewable energy plants used in agriculture were included in PSL criteria. The food grain production for the food grain production for kharif crop estimated to be higher by 0.8% at 1445 lakh tons till September 2020 due to increase in 4.6 in overall area sown. Overall agricultural activity looks quite vibrant in India, and especially since 58% of the population for their livelihood is dependent on agri and allied activities. India is also among top 15 leading exporters of agriculture produce across the world. Now I come to auto industry. The commercial vehicle sales fell by around 20% to around 133,524 units in Q2 FY21 on year-on-year basis, a smaller contraction compared to 85% fall witnessed in Q1. LCV had a smaller fall of 3.5%, whereas M&HCV had higher fall of 40%. Overall commercial vehicle industry is expected to contract by around 27% as per the ICRA estimate for year 2021. The small road and individual truck operators, which form major portion of the truck operators, they are able to restart their business and conduct their operation in stable manner on account of their focus on essential item transportation. The CVs have multiple application like transportation of agri produce, both perishable and non-perishable, poultry, fisheries, FMCG, consumer durables, industrial goods, both raw material and finished goods, mining activity, infra and construction. All of these activities have begun the operation. We are able to witness that in the month of September, most of them were able to operate, earn and make the even make the payment. The only segment that is still not fully operational is passenger transportation. That is basically city transportation, travel tourism, and staff transportation and school transportation. These are all very minor portion in our overall book, which is around 3%. We have identified these for restructuring. However, we expect the total restructuring by December would be around 2.5%. Now, now I come to the operations, business operations of Shriram. On the operation front, all our branches continue to operate peacefully. We did add 26 branches which were kept pending due to lockdown in the month of September. So the total number of branches now stands at 1784. The urban branches are 223, semi-urban are 585, and rural are 976. The rural definition, we have gone by RBI definition, which is less than 1 lakh population. And the semi-urban is between 1 to 10 lakhs. So around 12% of our branches fall in the urban. Rest everything is either in semi-urban and rural, which has a strong agri connect in their economy. The disbursement were quite good, I should say, compared to Q1, because September our disbursement were on par with the pre-COVID level. So the total disbursement were 6,463 crores for the Q2. And 90% of the disbursement were in the rural and semi-urban area. Coming to the key performance number, the AUM was 1,13,345 crores against 1,08,000 crores, which is increased by 4.5% on year-on-year basis. The net interest income was 2,021 crores as compared to 2,056 crores in Q2. Profit after tax at 684 crores compared to 765 crores. However, when we take the previous year's figure, there was a tax advantage, that is a reduction in tax by the government. So we could add the Q1 and Q2 advantage into Q2 of last year. So I should say that the PAT numbers were on par with last year's second quarter number. The EPS was 27.79 as compared to 32.86. The net interest margin expanded by 24 BPS on Q basis to 6.66 from 6.42 of Q1. The ROA improved to 2.22 from 1.06 on Q basis. And year-on-year basis, it was 2.67 last year in the second quarter. ROE is 14.24 against 7.09 on Q basis. The credit cost improved in this quarter to 2.12 from 3.52 on Q basis and 2.31 on year-on-year basis. Overall collection improved in Q2 with the total number of customer paying either full or part EMI being 78% in August and 95% in the month of September. On NPA classification, the Honorable Supreme Court in a public interest litigation via an interim order dated September 3, 2020 had directed that accounts which were not declared NPA till 31st August shall not be declared NPA till further orders. So gross NPA, net NPA as on 30th September stood at 6.42 and 3.64 respectively, as against 8.8 and 6.15 as of 30th September 2019. However, such accounts have been classified as stage 3 and provisioning has been made accordingly. If the company had classified borrower account as NPA under 31st August 2020, the gross NPA and net NPA would have been 7.26 and 4.51 respectively. Our liquidity position stands at 10,891.47 crores as on August 28, as compared to 9686 crores as on August 12, 2020. Hope you have already received investor update. Now I request Parag to give update on liability side, followed by Sundar on accounting part.
Parag here. I'll be covering liquidity and the fund position. So for the quarter, total fund mobilized by the company is 7,200 crores, out of which 1,500 is by way of term loans and 4,000 crore by way of securitization and assignment. The rest will be some capital market instruments and retail deposits. Thanks to the liquidity and the several schemes announced by Reserve Bank of India and government initiative, overall funding support has been good, be it partial credit guarantee, TLTRO, or special liquidity window infused through institution. Overall funds mobilized under partial credit guarantee scheme has been in excess of 2,000 crore, coming from around four banks. And SIDB liquidity facility, we mobilized 350 crores, and under TLTRO, mobilization has been slightly low at around 200 crores only. When it comes to the cost of fund, the incremental borrowing rate is around 8.75. Since we are largely dependent upon long-term funding source, the blended cost as of September will be in excess of 9%. It will be around 9.2. With collections improving now, that is adding to further liquidity buffer, and disbursement will pick up, and at that point of time, we'll be looking at further borrowing. On ALM front, we have been very comfortable. We don't rely on short-term sources, and all buckets up to 1 year have been always positive and continue to be the case even in September. We have activated our branch network team now for retail deposit mobilization, and that has picked pace. We are now getting around 250 crores net accretion to our deposits from our in our deposit front, and that is likely to go up. We do target to touch retail deposits of 20% of our liabilities over a period of time. Currently, we'll be at around 13%. With incremental borrowing costs coming down, we do expect that by March 21, overall cost will come down by around 25 basis points. I think that is all from my side on the liquidity front. I'll give it to Sundar for the funding update.
Yeah. Good morning. A couple of data points which I thought it's relevant to add to what Mr. Revankar and Parag have already spoken. One is on the interest income. There is an upfront booking of income on one particular assignment reel amounting to 68 crores, which was not there in the previous quarters. Previous quarters, it was more of a deferred income of 4 crores. And the operating expenses, it has gone up compared to the previous quarter by around 100 crores, primarily because of the incentive being provided for the staff based on the performance, which was not there in the June quarter. And also, due to opening up of most of the all the branches, the expenses have gone up. However, the cost-to-income ratio continues to be lower at 21.7% compared to 23% in the previous year. And as Mr. Revankar already has briefed on the gross stage 3 being reduced to 6.42 thanks to that Supreme Court decision, interim order. However, even if you remove that and see the gross stage 3 has improved compared to the previous quarter of 7.98, to it has come down to 7.26. On the PD LGD numbers, on stage 1, the PD that we are currently recognizing is 7.48% as compared to 7.5% in the previous quarter. And on stage 2, the PD is 23.19% compared to 23.8% in the Q1. And the LGD that has been applied, factoring all the COVID-related things, are 39.45% compared to 39.22% in Q1. And the company also has is currently ascertaining the impact on the difference between the compound interest and the simple interest, which has been announced by the government on Friday. And we feel that there will be no impact on the financial, as the same will be fully reimbursed by the government. And coming back to that Supreme Court order, interim order, we have taken an additional hit of 300 crores in spite of that not being classified as an NPA. However, we have considered that as a stage 3 and taken a hit of 300 crores. And these are the few points that I thought was relevant. We'll...
Now we will take the questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who wishes to ask questions, please press star, then one. The first question is from the line of Sanket Chheda from BNK. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Good morning. My question is on collection efficiency number that you just spelled out, that 95%. So is it 95% by number of EMIs, or it is just against the billed amount and whatever you have received? What I mean to say is some customers may have paid more than one EMI, and hence the actual non-paying pool could be higher. How to read this number?
It is purely billed versus collection. So the collections will include previous arrears, opening arrears also. But that's how we used to look at the numbers even before the pre-COVID levels.
Yeah, so can you provide me the number in terms of the customers who have not paid a single EMI for the first 6 months and then September also? So how much that will account for as a percentage of our AUM?
See, during the 6 months moratorium, as you are aware that we had offered close to 90%, more than 90% of the entire customer base, and out of which around 4.5% of the customers had not paid even a single installment during that moratorium period, which constitutes to around 1% of the AUM. However, some of them have started paying in the months of September and October. But during, if you strictly go by the 6 month moratorium period, 4.5% of the customers had not paid.
Okay, so right now also the pool remains about 4.5%, wherein there is no EMI.
So some people have paid in September and October out of that 4.5%. Some people.
Okay, so it is even reduced from 4.5%. Okay.
Yeah.
And sir, on growth front, where we see ourselves for FY21 in terms of disbursements, they're currently just tied below 50%. But in coming two quarters, how do we see growth momentum?
The disbursement should be at the previous year's levels, around 12,000 to 13,000 crores per quarter should be the disbursement for next two quarters. That should result in AUM growth of around 5 to 6%. So it will be almost on par with the last year's growth. And this growth also includes the postponement of the EMI, because when there is extended, because of moratorium, when it gets extended, the AUM does not come down. So to the extent there is a growth that is coming out of postponement. So overall, it will be 5 to 6%.
Okay. And lastly, sir, do you see the need of any elevated provisioning in Q3, Q4, or we feel that whatever we have provided so far is adequate?
It's quite adequate because we have provided a little more. Even when we take that Supreme Court order into consideration, there also where it has moved to stage 3, even though we are not classified it, that as NPA, we have already provided. So I don't think we need to provide anything more.
Okay. So our stage 2 assets have always been on quite a higher side. And against that, the non-paying pool which you mentioned seems quite low. So as you're not wrong, in FY20 annual report, your stage 2 asset was about 11%. We don't disclose in 1Q. So where it stands now, stage 2 assets?
Stage 2 as on September 30th is 11.65%. If you go strictly based on the Supreme Court order, the breakup I'll give. Stage 1 is 81.93% of the assets. Stage 2 is 11.65% and stage 3 is 6.42. Supposing if we don't consider the Supreme Court order, the stage 1 will be 81.58%, stage 2 will be 11.15% and stage 3 will be 7.26%.
Okay, sir. Sure. Thanks. That helps.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alpesh from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Just for one question. The number 10.
Excuse me, this is the operator. I'm sorry to interrupt. Sir, your voice is breaking.
Is this better?
Yes, yeah. Sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Sir, just one clarification, note number 10 regarding this hedge accounting. So, it has no impact on the reported margins, right? And this quarter, there is a mark-to-market gain of 27 crores, which has been routed through OCI.
Correct. So, the hedge accounting does not have an impact in the P&L. It is routed through the OCI. So, across quarters also, you will not find that movement because of this hedging instrument.
And it has no impact on the reported margins, which has gone up by around 25%.
Correct. No, it has got no impact.
Okay, that's first. Secondly, now what's your view on the liquidity? Because for a long time, we have been carrying excess liquidity on the balance sheet. So now do you plan to reduce it to 5-6% normalized level or do you plan to keep it at around 12% of the borrowings?
Security will be we'll be keeping at higher level till March because that's what board has suggested us. So we'll be little cautious and as things pan out, then we'll reduce excess liquidity.
Okay, and how about the securitization? This securitization plus assignment around 23%, do you plan to increase this to whatever, 27-28% in the coming quarters or will it remain at that current?
No, we are not looked at increasing that. That was largely to do with the partial credit guarantee schemes and all, so because of which there was more mobilization. The priority sector benefit is available for regular lending, term lending by the banks also. I think it should move to a regular term loans rather than securitization when it comes to fresh borrowing from public sector banks.
Okay, and the last question, does the QIP plan still stand because the asset quality has panned out much better than the expectations? So what we were expecting a QIP in the second half of the year. So does this still stand or we may look at in the future quarter?
The QIP, we may not be rushing into it anytime now because we also would like to see the sign of growth in the economy. So if the growth expectation is very high and if the GDP growth comes back positive very fast, then we will look at the further increase in equity. Otherwise, we will not be rushing into it.
Okay, and if possible, there is a statement in the presentation wherein you have given the month-wise collections from the number of customers. If it's possible, can you give the same number in terms of the value or the amount that you have received on a month-wise basis in terms of collection efficiency?
That we have already shared, if you recollect, you know. In the month of August, it was 59%. In the month of July, it was 53%. And June, it was around 50% in value terms.
So the same number you are mentioning right now is around 95%. It would include the two EMIs may have been paid by the same customer.
But it will be very, very less people. So approximately, if you look at volume-wise, it will be almost similar line, you know. So volume and value-wise, it will be similar in the month of September.
Okay. So 95% people have already started then coming. Started paying. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks for the clarification. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Jain, an investor. Please go ahead. Manish Jain, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello.
Manish Jain, your line is unmuted. Please unmute the line from your side and go ahead. As there's no response, yes, sir. We take the next question from the line of Ong Jin Chang from HPS Investment Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi. Morning all. Thank you for the call. Good quarter. Quick question for me, just to understand. I see that you have taken additional provisioning for the COVID-19. Your numbers are pretty strong, especially the collection rate is improving, as you mentioned. So can you give a little bit of color in terms of the rationale or the thinking? Why did you increase the provisioning in this period? And if I heard you correctly, you don't see additional provisioning required in the coming quarters. Is that correct?
Yes, we don't really anticipate further provisioning requirement. This provision, additional provision, we have done as abundant caution, and we feel that we have fully provided for the our business as of now, because unless there are some changes in the COVID situation, we don't really anticipate further provisioning. Meanwhile, I would like to also inform that the board has recommended interim dividend 6 per share, because since we have come back to the business as usual, and we expect a normal disbursement and collection in the next couple of quarters. Thank you.
Noted. And the, just on that note, you meant, I just said I heard correctly, the disbursement in the Q2 was about 680 plus crores. Is that correct?
No, 6,486 crores. It is around 50% of what it was last year. 6,486 crores.
6,400. And the normalized level is 12,000 to 13,000.
Yes, you're right.
Crores. And you and you're expecting to achieve this in the coming quarter?
Yes, we expect it to come. And we have enough liquidity, and we also have a good pipeline for raising resources.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rikin Shah from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just some data keeping questions. Number one, you did mention the stage two and stage one percentage of loans. Can I also get the coverage on this stage one and stage two? Second, I also wanted to confirm what was the stage two PD now and what it was earlier.
Stage two PD was immediate quarter, you're saying, previous quarter?
Yes, current quarter and earlier.
Okay, current quarter was 23.19%, and in Q1 it was 23.80.
Okay.
And coming to the provisioning, so we have a coverage of 39.71% on the stage 3 assets, and on stage 1 assets we have coverage of 3.18%, and in stage 2 assets we have a coverage of 9.88%.
Okay, got it. And just one more question. What would be the incremental cost of borrowing by different instruments?
See, done two large borrowing. One is securitization, which is at around 8.75. And the term loans, because it is still from public sector banks largely, the rate has been between 8.5% to 9%. Retail borrowing rates have been low. We have brought down the rates there. So 3-year rate will be 8%.
Pardon?
Retail.
Yeah, below 8%.
It will be less than 8%, 7.75% there.
Okay, perfect. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umang Shah from HSBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning, and congratulations on a good quarter. I just wanted to check on one thing. So as you clearly mentioned that incremental COVID-19 related provisions may not be required, and we are already holding about 4% non-stage 3 provisions. So in Q3 and Q4, should we assume that the overall credit cost normalizes to pre-COVID level, or we might see a little higher elevated level of write-offs compared to last year?
The last quarter credit cost was 2.12 and against 2.31 last year. First quarter it was 3.51. Cumulatively, if you see, in the first half it is 2.81. And we expect it to further come down in the next two quarters if the both the quarters hold good and if there is no further any COVID-related challenges. So the credit cost should be much better than earlier guidance which we had given. So we had given a guidance of less than 3 and it should become much better. That's what I should say. We can't comment beyond this at this stage now.
Sure, that's helpful. My second question is on the OPEX part. So in the opening comments, we mentioned that there was some bit of a one-timer in the employee cost. Now, I also noticed that the headcount actually this quarter has gone down by a couple of thousand employees. So if you could just split how much of this is non-recurring in nature and going forward, how should we look at OPEX or simplistically a 21-22% cost to income ratio should be a more sustainable number?
The next couple of quarters, we would be adding 100 branches because conversion of some of the rural center, which has reached a particular level of efficiency, we need to convert that into branches. So we would be adding around 1,000 people. You are right that number of count has come down to around by 2,500 numbers. And we need to strengthen the branches, so we would be adding 1,000. But overall, cost of how much is it?
See, it's around 240 crores of staff cost will continue to be there. Even, see, when I say one time, it's not actually one time. Compared to June quarter, we had had a total freeze on incentives, and hence, it was a one-time benefit, I would say, in June, rather than a one-time hit in this current quarter. This is a normalized position that we are coming back into. And we are confident that the cost-to-income ratio will hover around 22-23%.
Okay, sure. And last data point question, what would be the overall sanctions and disbursements under the ECLGS scheme for us?
Overall cumulative disbursement as of October, it will be 570 crores.
Okay, and sir, what would be the sanction?
Sanction is 2,800 crores, but many of the customers are not really seeking it, in the sense they do not really require it. So, the people who would be opting for restructuring, they will not be giving it. So, we may add another 100 crores by December 31st.
Perfect. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Sureka from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, good morning, sir. This is Vivek. I had two questions and one bookkeeping question. One question is to Umesh. In terms of reposition and price on second-hand trucks, given the economic activity, do you expect that to be firm? Because your loss given default is still pretty much the same. Let me just ask the questions in sequence. In securitization, the question is to Parag. Given the fact that the cash flows are uncertain during the pandemic, did you have any innovative structures which are interest only and so on? And in terms of the old pools, how have you managed it? I mean, has the tenor been pushed forward, outward? And the last question is on ALM. Which is on slide number 19. The first month outflows are high compared to the rest of the period. Is that one-off repayment that is there and has been refinanced out? Thank you.
Coming to reposition, we have not really witnessed any increase in reposition. So resale values, as of now, the LCVs, resale value of LCVs are higher than the pre-COVID level. So, but heavy vehicle transactions are not seen. Not neither there is buying or selling, or nor there is a repossessing. So it is too difficult to make a judgment on the same. But my feedback from the people is that the resale values are stable. It is not really decreased. So maybe the this quarter should be a right time to understand the resale values, because as the what called model changes from 1 year to another year, then only we will know the resale value further drops or not. So as of now, there is not much of risk of resale value coming down. The Parag?
Yeah, the securitization front, most of the lenders agreed for providing moratorium to the customers. So it is timely interest and ultimate principal for tenor due. Did get extended for that period. Most of the securitization in this period, as I mentioned, was under the partial credit guarantee schemes. So lenders were well aware of the cash flows and the moratorium offered. I think the second question was around ALM. Yes, there will be first bucket larger outflows because of some WCDL, working capital demand loans taken for the cash credit facility, and that would have 1 month, largely because of that.
Okay, sir. Thank you, and good luck to the team.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piyush from Serendip. Please go ahead. Piyush from Serendip, your line is unmuted.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on what looks to be a very good quarter. Just wanted to understand a little better. The 5% non-collecting, non-paying customers, do they largely belong to the 3% group that needs to get restructured? So, you know, if you exclude that 3%, would this 95% almost be the same as pre-COVID levels?
Yeah, yeah. Listen, most of these people who are not able to pay, they are in the that segment only, which I briefly mentioned, that taxi aggregators, school buses, and staff transportation, that is a major chunk of the people who are not able to pay because their business is not operational yet. They are coming under a restructuring plan. So we may be giving some smaller EMI to them for next 3 to 6 months. Then extending the tenor, we may give them a restructuring option.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishant from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So, fantastic set of numbers, sir. Congratulations on that. Just want to understand this correctly. I'm sorry for the repeated question. 95% collection efficiency, what is this number adjusted for all the arrears or advanced EMIs which were collected? You said it's roughly the same. Is that right?
See, what we have taken is that the monthly demand, you know, whatever is there, against that, in value terms, we have collected 95% of the money. So if 100 is the due for the month, we have been able to collect 95. That might include the area for the earlier months also. And in terms of number of customers, roughly around less than 5% have not paid in last 7 months or so, any month.
Fair enough. But could you quantify what would be the collection efficiency adjusted for arrears? Because what might happen is if 5% of your customers are paying 2 months EMIs because their business is back to complete normalcy, you are probably seeing this, it kind of masks the pain which is there in the part paying customers or something like that.
See, we don't have that. If you look at, you know, we have mainly the owner driver, small truck owner, first time user. Even the environment is not that where the people will pay more than one EMI at a shot. So there could be one maximum 1 or 2% who have paid more than one EMI. Otherwise, most will be either part or full EMI.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I think that was the only question. All the others have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumanta Khan from ICICI Prudential Pension Fund. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. My question is on the liability side. When you talked about how you've raised funds this quarter, mostly it has been, you know, deposit and combined. When do you think you'll be able to, you know, because if you have to grow the book from here onwards, someday or the other, you have to come back to the market, the NCD market. So by when do you see a better environment where you can raise money on a sustainable long-term basis?
I think two, three things there. One is securitization, the normal volumes. As of now, we have been looking at only the several schemes announced. The regular securitization should start now, because earlier the lenders were worried about the moratorium being offered to the customers and cash flow being uneven. So that will pick up. When it comes to the capital market, I will not be commenting on the market per se, because there were liquidity concerns initially with some of the funds, and the AUM also were not growing. Now that has picked up pace, that is, liquidity is good. We had some concerns reaching out to larger capital market investors, which has been addressed now, and we have started in a smaller way now raising NCDs. That should again come back to normal levels within a month or so. We have done some transactions now, market-linked debentures, and that should put to rest any concerns regarding whatever concerns investors had. So that volume should pick, come back to normalcy. We have around 20% of our liabilities from capital market, and we don't expect that to come down. So that should continue to be at 20% level. So it has been slow, but I think it is picking up, and it should be coming back to normalcy now.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Udit Kariwala from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. So my question was, if I heard you correct, that there are around less than 5% of customers who haven't paid in the last 7 months, and the total exposures for these customers is around 1%. But if I corroborate this with the 95% collection efficiency number and expectation of around 2.5 to 3% of restructuring, so if these customers only represent 1% of the total exposure, what is the remaining 2.5%? And then why does the collection efficiency is 95 and not higher if this is at 1%? So that is my question.
This 5%, less than 5% of the people who have not paid even a single installment was during the moratorium period, March to August. And some of the customers had started paying in the month of September and also in October. The October collections also continues to be robust. It is in similar pattern of the September, and we expect to close this month close to 95-96% of the demand. And coming back to your question as regards the restructuring, out of this 4-4.5% who had not paid even a single instalment, after considering certain people who have started paying, the balance maybe around 2% or 2.5% people will opt for restructuring. And so, what was your final question?
So my question was that if the collection efficiency has improved even further in September and October, then it was mentioned that the total exposure for these people is around 1%.
Correct.
So why would 3% go to restructuring? That is my question. If this exposure is 1%, why would 3% go to restructuring? And the second part to it is, if this is 1%, then why is your collection efficiency only 95% and not higher?
See, there are customers who have started paying. However, since the their segment of business is still affected because of COVID, pertaining to those sectors who are related to either school operators, school bus operators, or staff bus operators, or Ola Uber, those people had sought a request for restructuring. Even though they are able to pay some components, they may not be fully able to pay, and hence we are considering an one-time restructuring option to those customers also, so that in the next 3 to 6 months, they will be able to service only the principal, only the interest cost and some component of principal, and it will be staggered for the next 1 or 2 years for those customers. And hence, you can't correlate this 1% with the 2.5-3% of the restructuring that we are talking.
Okay.
And coming to the 95% of the demand, in pre-COVID levels also, we used to have 97-98% collections coming as compared to the demand in certain months. So similar trends are there. It's nothing alarming, and we feel that in the next couple of quarters, we should go towards the 100% collection on the demand.
Okay. And so one, the last extension to this question is that the provisioning in this quarter is around 410 odd crores, if I'm not wrong. While 300 crores is assuming that the Supreme Court directive, you know, would not have been there, the remaining 110 crores, if you could give some color around that, why is, I mean, is it an additional provisioning from what management is taking, or where is it coming from?
Yeah, it is the additional provisioning that we are considering basis the COVID scenario.
Okay. And at that, and incrementally now you're saying from here on, it should be the normal flow and not COVID-related provisioning which you will add.
Yeah, as things stand today, yes, that's what is our belief.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, if you could share, during the month of September, what percentage of customers by value had made full EMI payment and part EMI payments?
We don't have the numbers. You can touch base with Mr. Mundra. He will be able to help you.
Sure, sir. Sir, second question that I had was that since 90% of the customers were under moratorium, so when, if they were making some payments during the moratorium period, those receivables, were they adjusted against the principal or was it considered as a normal EMI payment? How was the accounting treatment done for those customers' EMIs at that point of time?
It was considered as a prepayment of the principal. It was apportioned towards the principal component.
Okay, okay. That's helpful. And so, given the fact that the press release that had come out from TFTRT at the end of September, they had broadly indicated that in the MHCV segment, the feedback that they are getting is around 60% of the collections would have, 60% of the truck operators would have made payments of the September EMIs, whereas we are reporting a very good number. So if you could comment, like, what led to such strong collection numbers vis-a-vis the feedback that we were getting from the market?
See, basically, let us understand that many of these large fleet operators, they operate in a long distance. So like Mumbai, Guwahati, Mumbai, Delhi, etc. The long distance transportation is still not normal. It has not come to the pre-COVID level. But the within the state transportation has come to normalcy. And we lent to only the small route customers. The 90% of my customer would be running between Mumbai to Nagpur, Mumbai to Nashik, Mumbai to Kolhapur. So they don't go, because most of them are used vehicles. They don't go beyond the state. So our customers are now operational, fully operational. But some of the long distance transportation where they are dependent on driver, or even they are dependent on the overall economy, that is not fully the same. Like if you look at the port activity, it is not the same. So therefore, there is some anomaly between what TIFTRT, which is from Pune, which they are reporting numbers, and the customers what we have, because they normally represent the large fleet operators, and our customers who are unorganized, they don't get reported, or they don't get or what call same mileage like the large fleet operator. So therefore, there is always a difference. So all our customers, I can say that they operate in a smaller distance, and therefore there is enough business, and they are mostly into day-to-day essential transportation like perishable, non-perishable, agri, and FMCG. These are running quite well and normal.
Sure, sir. And sir, if I may be able to fill in one last question. Sir, on the behavioral aspect of the customers that we are lending to in a pre-COVID environment, whatever savings that they would have had, so typically, where do they deploy those savings? Is it towards purchases of new consumption products, or do they actually make some financial savings? Some color on that would be helpful. What is your observation in terms of the customer profile that we are having?
Our customers normally not into savings, because whatever they make extra earning, they would either convert that into prepayment, or they convert that into maybe some physical asset. The saving habit is not really large among our set of customers. So that we don't really expect them to save in a financial instrument. It could be in some physical asset like gold, or maybe land, or maybe additional vehicle. They may go for a second vehicle, something like that.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kashyap Javeri from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and congratulations for a really good set of numbers in difficult times. Just two questions. One, I want to reconcile this number of non-paying customer. If I recollect, after the Q1 call in August, that number was what, about 19%? And this is now about 5%, right?
I didn't get you. What was the 19%?
The non-paying, the customers who have paid zero EMIs, I mean no EMIs, that number was about 19%, right?
No, we had not given any numbers at that point of time. We were saying that in April, the total number of customers who had paid was 25%, and gradually it had increased month on month, and it reached a peak of 78% in August, I think.
Yeah, the number of customers. July.
Okay. And second question was on provisions. You highlighted that, you know, versus earlier assumption about, or earlier guidance about less than 3%, you know, this number would be, you know, lower. But just to, grill on this, do we still continue to expect that, you know, as we go forward towards Q4, there might still be write back from the provisions that we have done until now, or that assumption now is no longer there in the credit cost number?
See, as things stand, we expect that there will be no further COVID related provision, but things are dynamic and then not fluid, I would say, and hence we are not really able to confirm whether Q3 and Q4 will not have any COVID related provision. Having said that, supposing if there is an improvement further in the credit quality of the assets, then there may be a potential write back. But whatever COVID related provisions of 2200 crores that we are holding as on September 30th, that we will continue to hold till 31st March. That is for sure.
Okay, sure. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashwin Kumar Balasubramanian from HSBC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to, this is, I think, touched upon by a previous participant as well. The difference which you've taken due to this Supreme Court judgment comes to about 0.8% in gross stage 3 assets. Now, this would be the basically the stage 2 assets as of March 20 which have not paid any EMI. Is that the right way to look at it?
No, no. See, the right way to look at it is post-moratorium, that is 31st August, who have not paid. So Supreme Court has said that those cases you should not consider as NPA. You should have a standstill for those cases also. So those are the 0.8% of the cases.
Right. So these would have been stage 2 as of like February 28th.
No, yeah, correct. Supposing if it had been moratorium, then those cases would have been stage 2. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if I just look back at your annual report, that number as of March 2020 was about 12,000 crores. I mean, out of that, only about 1,000 crore wouldn't have paid any EMI after that, right? I mean, is that the...
Correct. That is fair to assume, yeah.
Okay, okay. But, I mean, is this the kind of normal... roll forward rates, I mean, a rollback rate that you see, or in stage 2 assets, or like, I mean, is this worse than normal, or like better than normal?
It should be that 11 to 12, 13% will be the normal that going forward also.
Okay, okay, got that. Secondly, I mean, if I look at your notes to accounts, there is this. A number of about 5,000 odd crore, where it's mentioned that the moratorium is extended as of September 30th, 2020. So, but you mentioned a number of about 1% something, right? By value. So, I mean, just trying to reconcile those two numbers.
So that is as per the RBI requirement, IRAC requirement, wherein they had said that. That there is a disclosure norm that they had in all the NBFCs and banks to provide. Whatever was the moratorium extended to non-standard assets, on that whatever is outstanding as on 30th September is that 5,000 number. It will not be really easy for you to interpret this and reconcile this and that number. That we can have it post this call maybe. You can just touch base with Mundra, he will be able to help you out.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks a lot about that. One last question. In terms of the disbursements of about, 6,400 crores, what would be the nature of these disbursements? I mean, in terms of new and used, and let's say between HCV, LCV, and also like between like refinance and, like fresh sale, fresh resale, and so on.
No, see, the new vehicle advances around 150 crores and rest of it is used vehicle. And the working capital loan would be around 600 crores out of it. Rest everything is for used vehicle buying.
Okay. 7,200. And this used vehicle would also have that, element of refinance also, right? Or is it like purely new purchase sales? Transactions which would be there?
The refinancing may not be large. It's mostly purchasing because our business is basically financing a used vehicle which is being purchased. The existing customer after repaying going for a refinance would be much lower.
Okay. And this would be primarily LCV site, the used
The demand right now is across all, but yes, LCV and tractor are a little higher in this quarter.
Okay, okay. Okay, thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Jain from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just wanted to confirm the entire size of exposure to the three relatively stressed segments, taxi aggregator, school buses and staff transportation. The entire size of this exposure is about 3%, and this is what we are calling the potential restructuring requirement.
Yes, you are right. So those people who are in who feel that they need a support, we made an assessment because there are some cash aggregators who are able to pay. Even during the last 3-4 months, other than April and May, people have started paying, some cab aggregators have, Ola Uber operators are able to pay. But some of them said they are not able to pay, and some of them are paying part. So people who are paying in part and people who are not able to pay, there we have offered them.
Got it. Okay. So the ones which will need out of this is 3%. So is it possible to share the size of AUM to these segments? I mean, the entire, even including those which are not struggling to pay.
We will give the detail. Mundra will be able to give you detail.
Got it. Thanks. A small clarification to the denominator in the collection. It includes the entire customer base, including NPA or excluding NPA?
Demand will be for all the customers, including NPA. We don't exclude that.
Okay. So the collections you mentioned pre-COVID would have been 95.
There again, the denominator would include NPA cases.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piran Engineer from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, congrats on the quarter. I just have a couple of clarifications. Firstly, when you mentioned you're targeting 250 crores of net deposit accretion, that's on a monthly basis, right?
Yes, it's the monthly basis, net accretion.
Okay, fair enough. And most of these are retail or what is the percentage of corporate?
Entirely retail. We don't have a strong corporate deposit ICD market, ICD what called portfolio. So all our deposit will be retail only. 3 years.
Okay. That's
and average tenor is 3 years.
3 years. Okay. So my second question is that, and this is sort of similar to a question asked previously, of stage 2 as of Feb 29th was 11.5. And even today it is around 11.5. So if customers were given morat and, you know, very few have not paid, most of them would have paid at least one or two EMIs. Ideally, they should have come out of stage 2 and into stage 1. But that has not happened. So what exactly are we missing here?
No.
Because the stage 1 people could not have slipped into stage 2 if they were in morat. So, how do we reconcile this data that it's been flat?
Okay, we'll get it done through Mundra. You can just contact him. He will help you out in this.
Okay, sure. That's all from my end. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Swarn Agarwal from Max Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a few questions. The first one is, what was the collection efficiency in September excluding prepayment? Second is, on your passenger vehicle book, can you give a broad share for taxis, non-taxis and buses? And third is some flavor on collection efficiency of passenger vehicle vis-a-vis MCV, vis-a-vis HCV, vis-a-vis tractors.
The breakup is like that. Totally, we have around 20% of our portfolio in passenger. And out of that, 11% is the private passenger. That is for private purpose, and 9% is for public transportation. Out of this 9%, the cab aggregator is around 2%, including taxis. Here, Ola, Uber, and taxis are included. Then another 2% is staff transportation and school operators. And rest is rural transportation, the rural passenger transportation. That will be the rest of it. And what other question was?
Collection. Collection prepayment. It will not be significant. So that will not change that collection percentage per se.
Prepayment is not significant.
Okay. And collection efficiency of passenger vehicle versus CV versus tractor?
If you look at the behavior-wise, the LCV customers have been paying throughout because their business never stopped. M&HCV, they have some challenge because the inter-district was also not allowed in the month of April and May. But they have been start paying as far as heavy vehicle is concerned. The one segment that the another segment that were in challenge was people who are in infrastructure and mining, because most of the government payment got delayed in the month of May, June. But they all have start paying from August onwards. I think from July, the payments have been reasonably smooth. Some of them were able to pay part, some of them were able to pay full. So the segment which never got much impacted were tractor and LCVs. Others got impacted, but they got it got recovered from July onwards.
Any broad numbers which you can share in terms of collection efficiency of passenger vehicle?
Right now, we'll arrange the numbers through Sanjay.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kinder Vui from Value Partner. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hello.
Hi,
Management. Thanks for the call and congratulations on your good result. So wondering, wanted to check one thing is related to our S&P credit rating, right? Because they still put us under like the credit watch negative. So wondering, like, when will you expect the rating to stabilize a bit? And how's your conversation with them?
I think S&P and even Fitch has been slightly negative on the Indian economy, and that was one of the reasons why we have put on negative watch. And because moratorium was also announced, that further added to their concern. Now that moratorium period is over and collections are back to normalcy, we will be in touch, will be in discussion with them to look at removing this negative watch or outlook. We'll be actively engaged with them now. And not only the September result, but also the October performance continues to be promising. Disbursement coming back to normalcy. I think within a month or so, we should be looking at them to review their decision on the negative watch.
I see. So we expect the time will be like December, like probably next quarter, right?
According to us, it should be immediate now, because we have come out of moratorium and September numbers are there with them now. But they would like to see consistency of collections continuing for one or two more months. We do expect it to have their decision to be immediate, but according to me, realistically, it will be around December time.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Operator, can we have a last question?
Sure, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take the last question from the line of Jehan Bhara from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Good morning. My question is on net interest margin, which is down around 60 basis points year on year. So what is the reason and what is the outlook going forward? Thank you.
It is primarily because of the negative carry, as we are holding more than 10,000 crores of funds in the last couple of quarters. That is a big drag.
Okay. So that should come back to previous level, right?
Maybe it will take a couple of quarters at least. Maybe for next financial year, it may.
Right. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Umesh Revankar for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. In the opening remarks, I missed out that we have declared a dividend at 6 per share. Board felt that business has come to the normalcy and shareholders need to be rewarded. And last year interim it was 5, but this, since there is no dividend tax at company's level, it is we have made it 6 per share. And as far as the business is concerned, we are quite hopeful that business will be as usual. We should be able to disburse at the same level as last year, and may improve further as the COVID situation improves across the country. And we also expect the collections to improve further, because we, as not many new vehicles are added, the demand for existing fleet will be much better, and utilization level will go up significantly, and that will give a better revenue to our customers. So overall, we feel that the situation is under control and improving, and the next couple of quarters we should come out with much better results. And also, hopefully, we need not make further provision, COVID-related provisioning. So, friends, we'll meet again next quarter to discuss our number. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Shriram Transport Finance, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.